of Salah, which starts at 10:45 a.m. And then immediately after that, Dr. Siddiqui's Tafsir at 12 noon. Both classes will be on the same session using the same Zoom link. We can only continue to offer Friday prayers, inshallah, if everyone continues to follow the guidelines. These guidelines are put in place to enable smooth and safe operations. At this time, we are not allowing walk-ins or for people to swap registration with each other, and we respectfully ask that you only register if you are quite sure you can attend. Register only for yourself. If you register on behalf of someone else, then please use their name. And of course, do not register more than once for the same person. We are reminding you, as these are some of the issues we are seeing. It's very important to wear the right kind of masks and to wear the mask properly. Wear your mask for the entire time you are here at ISOC, and the mask should always cover your mouth and nose. And each person should use their own prayer spot, even if you are from the same household. And of course, if you are not feeling well or for whatever reason, please stay home until you feel completely better. Once you have finished prayer, please leave the campus immediately. Use the back parking lot. This evening, MYG will be having a discussion on gender relations and friendships, so please plan to join at 7:30. This evening, the talk will be online. Please do get familiar with the guidelines. Visit prayer.isocmasjid.org or follow ISOC on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Jazakallah khair, and pleased to welcome Sheikh Bilal Bahrani as the khatib.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة على الفناء حي على الفناء الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وإن خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم. وقال تعالى: ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفية. وروى الترمذي عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: ليس شيء أكرم على الله من على الله تعالى من الدعاء، أو كما قال. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with another opportunity to gather together to attend the Friday prayer, to gather together to worship Him. For many weeks we were not able to do this. For even this week, for many people, they were not able to attend the Friday prayer for whatever reason. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. And this is something we should cherish. This is something we should be thankful for. And we stand here today on the last day of Jumada al-Thani. The next month is Rajab, the seventh month of the Islamic calendar, which means we have only 2 months left until Ramadan. Only 2 months left. We have Rajab, Sha'ban, and then Ramadan. One of the things that many of us try to do in Ramadan is make dua. Sometimes we come and we go to different masajid, we attend different programs, and we join in the dua that the sheikh is making, that the imam is making. And this is something we do in Ramadan, but it's also something that we need to try to make a habit in our daily lives, and it's something we need to work on from now. If we start working on making dua right now, start working on building that habit, then in Ramadan we can work on improving that. And inshallah it will continue after Ramadan as well. Now you might have the question that, why do I have to make dua all the time? Why is it so important to make dua? First and foremost, we go to the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, He says, Ud'uni astajib lakum, that call upon me and I will answer your du'as, I will listen to you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, the one who created everything, the one who created us, the one who gave us everything we have, the one who's controlling the whole universe in this perfect way, that Allah, our Lord, our Master, our Creator, He is telling us, ask and I will respond, I will accept your prayers. So if He is telling us to ask, then why shouldn't we ask? He can give us anything. He is in control of everything. If someone else gave you that opportunity, if someone else told you, imagine a friend, a relative, someone else offers you that, ask me anything and I'll give it to you. Ask me anything and I'll listen to you. If someone else said that, wouldn't you take up that opportunity? Wouldn't you go to them and ask them for what you needed? And so in the same way, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, ask and I will accept, then we should take up this opportunity. And then in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, in a hadith narrated in the Sunan of Abi Dawood, he says, "Inna rabbakum tabaraka wa ta'ala hayyun kareem yastahi min 'abdihi idha rafa'a yadayhi ilayhi an yaruddahuma sifra." That your Lord, your caretaker, your master, your Lord Allah is shy and generous. How is He shy? He is shy of turning away His slave empty-handed. When one of us asks Him, He is shy to turn us away empty-handed. That He will accept our du'as. He is shy and generous. He doesn't want to turn you away empty-handed. He wants to give you something. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there asking us to make dua. He's there available for us to ask him. So one question people ask is, I've made dua before, I make dua, but I don't see my duas being answered. I asked for this thing, I asked for that thing, and it didn't happen. I didn't get it. So there's a couple things to remember here. First of all, generally speaking, yes, our du'as are accepted. But sometimes there are things we can do that prevent our du'as from being accepted. So we have to be careful about not doing these things. One example is our income, our wealth. What are we eating? What are we drinking? What are we wearing? What type of all of this? What are we consuming? This has an effect on the acceptance of our du'as. The Prophet ﷺ gives an example of a person who is traveling. They're in a very difficult situation. They're disheveled. They're really desperate. He paints this picture of this very desperate person. And this person raises his hands in du'a, asks Allah, but his du'a is answered. The Prophet ﷺ then explains that the reason his du'a wasn't accepted is because the food he ate was haram. Either it was haram itself, or it was purchased through haram earnings. That it was in the trade of either examples of things that are haram. For example, being involved in interest, being involved in buying and selling things that are impermissible, and so on and so forth. So this person who was in such a desperate situation, he had all these qualities that would normally make the dua accepted. But because the food he ate, the clothing he wore, all of these were through haram sources, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept his dua. And the other thing we have to keep in mind is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting our du'as, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listening to our du'as, doesn't equate him giving us exactly what we asked for. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his infinite wisdom may decide that this person made du'a for something, but this isn't the best thing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him something else. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains this in a hadith that ma min muslimin yad'u bi da'watin laysa fiha ithmun wa la qati'atu rahimin illa a'tahu Allah biha ihda thalath imma an yu'ajjala lahu da'watuhu imma an tu'ajjala lahu da'watuhu wa imma an yadakhiraha lahu fil akhirah wa imma an yasrif 'anhu min su'in mithlaha. قال إذا نكثر قال الله أكثر رواه أحمد. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that nobody makes a du'a that as long as they don't make a du'a that has that's asking for something wrong, that's asking for a sin. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you do something wrong. And you're not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to break family ties. Break the ties between a brother and a sister, a mother and her children, a father and his children, a uncle and his nieces and nephews, and so on and so forth. As long as the dua does not incorporate these two things, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah will give him one of three things. He will give him what he asked for. He will rush it and give him what he asked for immediately. Or he will save that as reward in the hereafter. That will be stored for him in the hereafter. That maybe this wasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want this to happen. But just the fact that you made the dua, just the fact that you asked, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will store this as reward for you in the hereafter. And the third thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevent some calamity, some difficulty that was coming your way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from that due to this dua that you made. So even if we make a dua and we don't see exactly what we asked for, we don't get exactly what we asked for, it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept our du'as. It could be that He did one of these other things. And so now that we realize how important it is to make du'a, we realize that our du'as are always accepted. How do we make du'a? How do we make du'a? What are the proper etiquettes of making du'a? And so the first thing that we do when we make du'a is we start with hamd. We start with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him. We look at all of the things around us, all the creations of Allah, and we praise Him. We look at the trees, we look at the stars, we look at the sun and the moon, and we look at all of these creations. We look at everything around us, and we praise Allah. We say, Alhamdulillah. We look at all the blessings that Allah has given us. And no matter what difficulty we're in, no matter what we're struggling with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has still blessed us with so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed some people with health, blessed some people with wealth, blessed some people with one thing or another. But everyone has numerous blessings that they can thank Allah for. So you start off with this. And then you make dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You say durood, you say salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Generally, in the form that we're familiar with is when we say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad or sallallahu alayhi wasallam or something along these lines. But generally speaking, this is making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, have mercy on him, protect him. So making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who sacrificed so much for us, who did so much so that we could have guidance, so that this message could reach us, so that we could know our purpose in life. And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs. Amongst the things that we do in this dua is we ask for forgiveness. We recommit ourselves to building that relationship with Allah and strengthening our relationship with Allah. And we be firm in what we ask for. When we ask firmly. We don't say things like, "Oh Allah, if you want, then give me this." We ask Allah firmly. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us in a hadith that إِذَا دَعَا أَحَدُكُمْ فَلَا يَقُلْ إِنْ شِئْتَ وَلْيَعْزِمِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ وَلْيُعَظِّمِ الرَّغْبَةِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْظُمُ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ أَعْطَاهُ أو كما قال. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us that when we make dua, we should be firm in the way we ask. We should ask. We shouldn't use these, say it in this way that, "Oh Allah, if you want, then give it to me." Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what He wants. He already will do what He wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever He wants. So we ask, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to give it to us or decides to accept it in another way, then He will do so. But we ask firmly. And then there is the question of what do I ask for? How do I ask? That yes, we start off with hamd, we start off with the praise of Allah, we start off with durood and salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do some istighfar, we seek forgiveness. But when we're asking, how do we ask? What do we ask for? Some of us might say, "I don't know how to make dua. I don't know how to ask." And this is a perfect thing to make dua for. That we can ask Allah that, "Oh Allah, I don't know what to ask you for. I don't know how to ask. But oh Allah, teach me how to make dua." You can make a dua to that Allah teaches you to make dua. This is perfectly fine. The other thing we can do is look at the du'as from the Quran and the Sunnah. There are many, many books that have du'as from the Quran, du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make. If we can memorize these du'as, then great. We can, those are the best du'as to make. If not, at least read these, read the translations. Look at what type of stuff is being asked for. Look at what type of stuff, what type of things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is asking for protection from. And learn from that on how to make dua. But most importantly, be sincere in your dua. Whatever you ask, however you ask, it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to be in a beautiful voice. Actually, dua is supposed to be quiet. It's supposed to be a humbling experience. You humble yourself in front of Allah. You're not supposed to try too hard to make it sound fancy. It's supposed to be simple. It's fine to participate in du'as. You go to the masjid, the imam makes du'a, you participate. That's good. But we should make sure that we have an independent connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We individually reach out to Allah, make du'a to Allah, and talk to Him. Make du'a to Him at an individual level. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for, that He wants us to be sincere. He doesn't want us to be making dua. He doesn't care if we're saying it in fancy words or we're saying it with a nice voice, or even if it's the most eloquent. But the most important thing is sincerity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who constantly make dua and constantly turn to Him. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. There is a verse in the Quran we read every day in the middle of Surah Fatiha where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. This should be the slogan of our life. This should be how we go through our day. That everything we do, we sincerely do it for Allah. We do it for the sake of Allah. And whenever we need anything, whenever we're in a difficult situation, whenever we need something small or big, we always turn to Allah. Yes, we do. We try and we do our efforts, but we remember that everything is in the hands of Allah and we turn to Him for every need, big and small. And so just to summarize, that we talked about how the importance of dua and how to make dua and what it means when we're told that our dua is accepted. So now a couple of things we can do. One is make dua whenever, wherever. That there are etiquettes, there are ways to make dua, and that is important. You make dua with the proper etiquettes. But there are also times when maybe you're in a desperate situation, you really need something, or maybe it's not something big even. You're laying down in bed and you remember something. And you make dua to Allah. Call out to Allah. Oh Allah, help me with this. Oh Allah, I need this. Ask Allah. Make dua whenever and whenever. Whenever you feel like it, you can turn to Allah. Allah is always there. So try to build this habit. Whenever you need anything big or small, just call out to Allah. Ask Allah. And the second thing is, try to build a daily habit of making dua. Whether it's making dua after every prayer, or maybe one time in the day you pick and you sit down for a minute, just 1 minute or 5 minutes, and you just sit and make dua to Allah. You ask Allah, you talk to Allah, you build that relationship with Allah, and that way you'll slowly, as you build up to Ramadan, as we said, we have 2 months left until Ramadan. As you reach Ramadan, you'll already be used to making dua, and you can improve on that, you can build on that. قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين خصوصا على الخلفاء الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعلى سائر الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم بفضلك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين ويا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم ارفع عنا هذا البلاء اللهم ارفع عنا هذا الوباء. We have request for dua for shifa for brother Sayyid Badruddin, brother Abdul Khalid, sister Siti Marjan Shabdin, sister Nurul Fawzia, and brother Zishan Qadri. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them complete shifa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give their families patience. And we have request for dua maghfira for sister Najin Fathi Dazmal, and sister Rafia Khalid, and brother Muhammad Shafqat Ali, and brother Rizvi Shabdin, and sister Saima Ghazal Atif. And for the last sister, the funeral will be taking place at Westminster Memorial Park later today at 2:30. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive their shortcomings, to grant them the highest levels of paradise, and give their families patience. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا واختم بالصالحات أعمالنا اللهم رب الناس مذهب البأس اشف أنت الشافي لا شافي إلا أنت شفاء لا يغادر سقما اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات وأصلحهم وأصلح ذات بينهم واجعل في قلوبهم الإيمان والحكمة وثبتهم على ملة رسولك وأوزعهم أن يشكروا نعمتك التي أنعمت عليهم وأن يوفوا بعهدك الذي عاهدتهم عليه اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلا إلا رحمته ولا ضالا إلا هديته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.